most of which we've touched upon already,
was, again, era. We had the opening paragraph, the Besorah of Yitzchak, the Ripui of Avraham, and the destruction of Sodom. We've spoken about that. Taking us into the first interaction with Avimelech of Avraham Avinu, which we called Avimelech 1. We went into the Leida of Yitzchak, just presenting again the breakdown of topics of the Parsha. The second interaction with Avimelech, which we called Avimelech 2. And then the Akedah, these were the topics of the Parsha 1, 2, and 3. We spoke about already. We saw on many different levels the coming into the world and unfolding of a new Midah, the Midah of Gevurah. Coupled together, at the same time, we're planting the seeds for the completion of the process with a Midah of Malchut. That's going to be coming forth. That's been our topic in the past three shiurim. What we haven't spoken about, and that's what I'd like to focus on today, are these two. Avimelech 1, Avimelech 2. Avram Avinu's interaction with Avimelech split into the Parsha into two separate pieces. And that's what I would like to start going into. Okay. In the first scenario, the first episode with Avimelech, we had a sense, we had an experience of what I call the deja vu, in the sense that Avimelech taking Sarah from Avram, and that whole interaction seems to be repeating itself. We've been in this story already before with Paro and Mitzrayim. It's a very similar theme that's coming forth. And the story underlying the second meeting between Avimelech and Avram Avinu over here was the fighting over the wells, a brit, a treaty, a shvuah that Avram and Avimelech make between them two. Avimelech asks that there's a treaty, there's a brit, that there's a shvuah, that no damage is caused to his children, and Avram Avinu is willing to do that, where in the course of that he gives over, listen carefully to the details again, 7 sheep, and that's his contribution to the brit. And based on that, a new place is formed, called a new well, becoming a very central place in Sefer Bereshit, and that is Be'er Sheva, the well of the seven, whether it's going back to the Shevach Masot, whether it's going back to the Shavuah, which we weren't sure about the relationship between Shavuah and Shevach B'chlal. So, what's going on over here? What is the nature of, what is the essence of the interaction of Avraham Avinu with Avimelech? What's the similarity here between Avimelech and his people, and Mitzrayim and Paro, in relationship to Avraham Avinu? How does it weave into the Parsha and into the Inyanim of the Parsha? Not clear. Who is Avimelech and what is his kingdom? So we started mentioning it yesterday, that was the end of Shir. Who is Avimelech then? Open up in the first paragraph. The first paragraph, all we find is that Avraham Avinu goes to live in Gerar. Perekaf, Pasuk Aleph, look inside please. Ve'isam isham Avraham alza ha'nega ve'yesha ben kadeshu ben shu ve'yagol b'grar. We're not exactly clear what people this is. Gerar is more or less in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, but we're not exactly sure who is Avimelech, the king of. But in the next paragraph, and that's the Avimelech 2, Perekaf Aleph, Pasuk Bekaf Bet, look inside please, chapter 21, Pasuk 22, that's where we find that in fact what we're dealing with is with the people of Plishtim. Where does that appear? At the very end. Look inside Perekaf Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Bet. Or Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Perakaf Aleph Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Al Ken Kara LeMakom Ahu Be'er Sheva. Right, that's what we just mentioned before. Kisham Yishbeu Shnehem. The pasuk just seems to make the connection between the Shvuah and the Be'er Sheva. Doesn't seem to be going back to reflect upon the connection between the Be'er Sheva and the 7 sheep, whatever that represents. In any case, Vayichretu Brit Be'er Sheva. They made a Brit in that Be'er Sheva. They made a Brit. So Be'er Sheva represents. Listen carefully. Be'er Sheva represents the place of the Brit. Be'er Sheva represents the Brit between Avram and Plishtim, Avram and Avimelech. Ve'yakom Avimelech u'pichol sar tzvaho ve'yashuvu el eretz Plishtim. Ve'yitai eshel bi'er Sheva ve'yikra sham b'shem Hashem kel olam ve'yador Avram be'eretz Plishtim yamim rabim. The psukim finish off the interaction with Avram being that we're told Avram actually lived, dwelled in Eretz Plishtim for many days, for a long period of time. this, and only now at the very end of the interaction of Avram with Abimelech, we get to see that we're dealing with is with Plishtim. Now, before we continue, the strange thing, and one of the most strangest things in Sefer Bereshit, is that Avram and Avinu's interaction with the Plishtim and with Abimelech, their king, repeats itself with all of its major details again in the next generation with Yitzchak. And to do that, I want you to do a quick piece, just to read quickly, two parshiot ahead. Look inside, please, in Parshat Toldot. Parshat Toldot. Now we're talking about chapter 26 in Bereshit. Please read chapter 26. It's 35 sukkim. I don't mind, as I've often said, you can read it in English. I do prefer the Hebrew, but if you, for the sake of the speed, to scan through, you need English, do the English. Okay, Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph. All the way to the end of Berakhtavah. Thank you. That's basically all the major elements that we find with Avram Avinu's interaction with Abimelech, and the Plishtim comes to repeat itself again with Yitzchak. It's astonishing. First of all, Yitzchak goes and lives in Gerar. And then, of course, he's asked about his, he's on the verge of having his wife being taken away, where he sees it, he really says it's his sister. Then their whole interaction with the wells. Is being sent away, and they are making a treaty, a brit or a shvua, and that ultimately leads to a whole new place, which is called Be'er Sheva, which Yitzchak Avinu has to name again, even though Avram Avinu named it the name before. Ma'od muzar. So, what we can say in the meantime is the following, and that is, let's not forget that Be'er Sheva, which clearly we saw as hinting towards this, the seventh midah malchut having to come and to appear, which we saw yesterday, Avram Avinu and Yitzchak each have to go, they go together towards Be'er Sheva at the end of the Akedah. That's their ultimate destination, Be'er Sheva. When we saw how much it's hinting towards where all their unfolding of midot are heading towards, at the same time, somehow, each one separately, Avram in his own way, Yitzchak in his own way, has to go through this conflict and interaction with the Plishtim, which results with leading it all to be defined as the place of Be'er Sheva. So clearly, whatever Be'er Sheva is about and whatever it represents has to do and is completely correlated with our interaction, with our conflict, with the treaty of Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, and the Plishtim. Okay, so till now, this is just background details. What is this really about? I'd like to start examining by using the big rule that the Ramban has given us, quoted already a few times over here, and that is defining Sefer Bereshit as Ma'aseh Avot Siman Lebanim, the prototype book that plants the seeds, creates the genes, the potential for all that will be unfolding throughout history, throughout the ages for Klal Yisrael and its interaction with the nations of the world. More so, to say it in a sharper way, there is nothing that can appear in Sefer Bereshit that is not planting genes for history, hence its actual name, the Book of Genesis. Okay, so let's skip with Plishtim and our knowing of Plishtim or our interaction with Plishtim from the Bereshit appearance of Plishtim and these Parshiyot, Avram and Yitzchak and Abimelech. Let's skip ahead to Klal Yisrael, the unfolding of these genes. Where is the first time that we actually meet Plishtim in the history of Klal Yisrael? What's the first interaction that we find between Klal Yisrael and Plishtim throughout the ages? What? Shimshon? Much earlier. Where's the first time that Plishtim is actually mentioned in Chumash? We're talking from Shmot onwards, right? From the birth of Klal Yisrael and onwards. Avi, what was that?
Egypt,
ah, very, very, very good. Excellent. Open up in Parshat B'Shalach. Barry, what do you want to say? Okay. So, open up in Parshat B'Shalach in Sefer Shemot. And we're going to be running around a lot of sources today inside. For those of you who have a full Tanakh, it's definitely better, because we're going to be seeing some sources also later on in Sefer Shoftim and Shmuel. If you have a Tanakh around, that would be great. In the meantime, in the Chumash level. So, as Avi pointed out, open up the opening for Parshat B'Shalach. The parsha that completes the process of Yitziat Mitzrayim, which starts, let's say, in Parshat Vayera with the 10 plagues, the Parshat Bo and the Makat Bechorot, culminating the 10 plagues, and then Kriyat Yamsuf in Parshat Bishalach. The opening for the Parsha, which is going to lead to Kriyat Yamsuf, is as such. I'm reading inside. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin in Shmot, Vayihi Bishalach Tarotam, as Paro sent the people, Jewish people out, V'lo nacham Elokim derech Eretz Plishtim, ki karovu, ki amar Elokim, pen yinechem ha'am, birotam milchana v'sharu mitzrayma. By the way, yesterday, the day before, we saw a very rare phenomenon in Chumash where we're giving like the inner interactions or calculations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making with himself as to how to handle things, how to move the world forward, which we never find. And I said, I can only think of one other place I can't think of any other, and what I was thinking about was this right over here. That when Hashem was sending Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, when Paro was sending Am out of Mitzrayim, Hashem did not send them through Plishtim into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Ki kavofu, because it's close. Ki amar Elokim pen yinachem ha'am birotam milchana v'shavu Mitzrayimah. Meaning, geographically, what we're describing is as such. Please bear this in mind as we're going to continue throughout Shir to try to unfold our relationship with Plishtim. Mitzrayim is over here. Yamsuf will be over here. This will be the area of Eretz Yisrael. And Plishtim is positioned in the middle on the road to Eretz Yisrael from Mitzrayim. This is the area of Plishtim. If you wish, southern part of Eretz Yisrael, basically the Gaza Strip of today. This is where they're positioned. Plishtim is positioned between Mitzrayim and the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. So, Klal Yisrael comes out of Mitzrayim. The destination, of course, to get to Eretz Yisrael. This could have been the journey. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not feel, quote-unquote, of course, that Klal Yisrael is ready for this interaction with the Plishtim. They're going to be running back into Mitzrayim. Therefore, Vayasev Elokim, look inside in Pasuk Yudchet, Vayasev Elokim et ha'am derech ha'midbar yam suf v'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael me'ot v'nisayim. Therefore, instead, he sent them around to make a Vayasev, Lashon Sibuv, Lashon a circle, to go through Yam Suf. And that leads us into the desert, which ends up being a long 40-year journey. And we come into Eretz Yisrael from the other direction, from the Jordan, as such. Okay, this is the general geographic picture of the story. Well, theoretically, it could have been a direct journey into Eretz Yisrael. We go make a circle through Yam Suf, which ends up being through the desert, which ends up as a result of Chet Egel, Chet Maraglim, a long journey of 40 years, a new generation has to emerge, and we come into Eretz Yisrael from the other side, from the east, instead of from the south or southwest, coming into Eretz Yisrael. Okay? This is basically the Mediterranean over here, more or less this is the way the map would look. Okay, so this is our first interaction, or first meeting, or absence of interaction, but at least mentioning of Plishtim in the Torah. Fine, then we go into the desert, 40 years in the desert. When is the next time in Tanakh that we find any expression or appearance of Plishtim and their interaction with the Jewish people? What?
When they
capture
the army.
Okay. That's going to be later on already, but when it was the first time that we mentioned Plishtim in Tanakh since we come into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so those of you who do have a Tanakh, please open up inside. All of Chumash goes by, 40 years go by, Moshe dies, we go into Sefer Yehoshua, we go into Eretz Yisrael. Sefer Yehoshua is the book of conquering Eretz Yisrael over a period of how many years, by the way? 14 years that Eretz Yisrael is the process of being conquered. That's all Sefer Yehoshua. When that is accomplished, Yehoshua can die, because Yehoshua's role is bringing us and being manchil as Eretz Yisrael. That's accomplished. His life is accomplished. His life comes to an end, and his book comes to an end at the end of Sefer Yehoshua. And basically, Plishtim is not yet really mentioned all throughout, or doesn't have an expression all throughout Sefer Yehoshua. We finish Sefer Yehoshua, and we begin a new book, and that is Sefer Shoftim. Now, before we continue, two words about Sefer Shoftim as a whole. How would you, from what you know, define what Sefer Shoftim is about?
Well,
Yes, Benji.
Okay,
anybody want to know? Is that Nachon, or?
Kind of, yes,
kind of like a cycle of sinning and tshuva and just then keep messing up. Right, very good. It seems it's not really getting anywhere. We'll put it as such. Sefer Yehoshua, Sefer Shmuel. Sefer Shoftim, Sefer Shmuel. How would you define Sefer Shmuel? The underlying idea behind what I'm asking is that it makes all the sense in the world that it should be so. Every book has its own entity. Every book has its own theme, its own definition. It's not just splitting a long historical chumash into many, many pieces. Yes, Gary?
In the same exact way
that Yeshua's role in history is very defined. It's bringing us Klal Yisrael through the Jordan into Eretz Yisrael and being Manchil at the Aretz. Shmuel's role is appointing kingdom, attempting for the first time with Shaul, and then going on with David. So we're not going to have two separate people. That's Shmuel's role. And if it doesn't work with Shaul, it's going to have to work with David, and Shmuel has to do that. So Sefer Shmuel Aleph and Bet are the two pieces of the coming into the world of the Malchut of Klal Yisrael. Having to go through, without going into right now, why? The non-lasting and non-eternal Malchut of Shaul, then to be transferred through a difficult conflict and interaction between Shaul and David over to Malchut Beit David, where the Malchut of David at last is complete form and is eternal. With all its difficulties, at the end of days, it's not going to be the Malchut of Melech ben Shaul or ben Yosef, it's going to be Malchut Melech ben David. Okay, so this is the book of the forming of the Malchut of Klal Yisrael. Yeshua bringing us into Eretz Yisrael, and in this bigger picture, with no contradiction, with rather another floor to what Yaakov mentioned before, in terms of what Sefer Shoftim is about. Sefer Shoftim is the pre-Malchut stage for Klal Yisrael. And being that that's the case, we don't have Malachim, we have Shoftim. But the price is big, being, as Yaakov mentioned, and I'm adding to that, there is no central Malchut to Klal Yisrael, we have not attained that. What we will find is, if I have to illustrate, Sefer Shoftim is going to look as such. Constantly going up and down and up and down. Klal Yisrael is drifting always to see what's going on by the nations around or pockets of nations in Eretz Knan and going off the Derech of Hashem, and Hashem brings this new power or a new nation to give them trouble, and then they scream out at Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they shofet is given to Klal Yisrael to lead them. They go to war and they beat them, and then the land is quiet for 20 years, for 40 years often, sometimes for 80 years, and then slowly things go drift away and again things fall apart. And this basically is the pattern. It's until Klal Yisrael reaches the episode of Pilegish Begiva, very, very similar to the story of Sodom. For those of you who are familiar, and that brings Sefer Shoftim to a close with almost the complete erase of the whole Shevet of Klal Yisrael, and that is Shevet Binyamin, out of which Malchut actually in Sefer Shmuel is going to come out and appear through Shevet Binyamin. No other Shevet, and that is Shaul from Shevet Binyamin. But in any case, if there's one line, one pasuk that appears over and over in Sefer Shoftim, and the closing line of the whole book is, "Vayamim hahem, ein melech b'Yisrael, ish hayashav ve'einav yaseh." In those days, meaning in the days of Sefer Shoftim, there's no melech in Klal Yisrael. Everybody does whatever he wishes. There's no central organization unifying all of Klal Yisrael to one purpose, to one destination. Instead, what we have is Shoftim. Now, with this background, open up relatively in the very beginning of Sefer Shoftim. Don't confuse that with Parsha Shoftim and Sefer Devarim. I'm talking about Perek Bet, let's say Pasuk Vav. Perek Bet, Pasuk Vav, and Sefer Shoftim.
Okay.
Okay, what we find in this paragraph, you can look inside the Hebrew or in the English, basically, is the summing up of the life of Yeshua, even though this actually appeared at the very end of Sefer Yeshua, it's repeated here again, and Yeshua is described again as dying and being buried, and that whole generation, Pasuk Yud, dies. And then, for the first time, we find Klal Yisrael starting to go off the way, Derech of Hashem, and Pasuk Yud Aleph, the coming true of the prophecy that Moshe was told before he dies, you should know that the Bnei Yisrael is going to go off the Derech. And then the Pesukim go on and describe, you can scan through the English if you wish, but in any case, giving us a very non-typical, atypical overview, which Tanakh almost never does. It always goes through the details and leaves the overview for you. Here, somehow, in this paragraph, Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, till Pasuk Kaf Gimel, we give an overview of this whole book, which is basically what I said before, that Hashem left pockets in Eretz Yisrael of other nationalities in Eretz Canaan to test and to check Bnei Yisrael, whether they are or whether they're not going to keep to the Derech of Hashem. And every time that they would not, they would get trouble from these pockets, and Hashem would then position a shofet, and he would save them. And all this was, look inside please, Apostle 22, Leman nasot bamet Yisrael, the reason why Yeshua did not accomplish a full conquering of Eretz Yisrael. Rather, there were certain pockets of different nations that remain in Eretz Yisrael. The Pesukim define the purpose. And again, it's atypical. We don't speak usually of overview or purpose. It's for you to you understand from behind the scenes. But here the Pesukim do that. Pasuk 22 in chapter 2 in Sefer Shoftim. Look inside. Levan nasot bamet Yisrael. It's to test and to check Bnei Yisrael. That's why these pockets were left there. Hashemrim ebederech Hashem, are they keeping to the way of Hashem, alechet b'am kasher shabu avotam, or not, im lo. Vayanach Hashem et hagoyim ha'edah lebirti orisham naher, v'lo natanam v'yad Yeshua. That's why Hashem did not allow that Yeshua would completely conquer all these pockets, because we need them to test, to check Klal Yisrael at this stage of history. And then, Perigim ha'posuk aleph, next pasuk, goes on to describe which are the goyim which the Hashem left in Eretz Yisrael to test Bnei Yisrael. And with the beginning of the list is Pasuk Gimel Chameshet Sarnei Plishtim, the five, whatever, leaders of Plishtim, and also all the Knani and Sidoni, Chivi, different pockets in Eretz Yisrael. The first on the list are the Plishtim. And, as was mentioned here before, indeed, all throughout Sefer Shofti, and all throughout Sefer Shmuel Aleph, we find over and over. True, we do have some other, but the main power, which is going to be causing Bnei Israel trouble in their attempt to develop into a people in Eretz Israel, are the Plishtim, constantly penetrating from the south and causing trouble for Klal Yisrael, instigating war. It's coming up over and over. The most famous or most major interactions with the Plishtim at this stage of history is for example, which? Somebody mentioned before, Shimshon and his interaction with Plishtim. Later on, the whole David and Goliath, which is not just another war with Plishtim, it's through that that the whole jealousy between Shaul and David begins, because David is able to beat Goliath and he's praised by the people, and Shaul starts sensing that he's starting to lose control, and that leads, and that's planting the seeds for all the trouble between Shaul towards David throughout their life. And it continues all the way to the end, the very end, skip please in your Tanakh, to the very end of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, the closing piece in Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Please do that. That's the way Sefer Shmuel Aleph ends. If you wish, Sefer Shmuel Aleph is the book of Shaul, Sefer Shmuel Bet is already the book of David. And being that that's the case, Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph, and Sefer Shmuel Aleph is really the description of the last war of Shaul with the Plishtim, where Shaul and Yonatan actually find their death in the context of this war. And Shaul is killed, Shaul and Yonatan are killed by the Plishtim, and that brings the life of Shaul and his kingdom to an end, and bringing about the birth of a new book, Shmuel Bet, and that sets the stage for David's Malchut. Soon, into the kingdom of David HaMelech, and we're talking about Sefer Shmuel Bet, Perek Chet. Skip ahead, please. Shmuel Bet, Perek Chet. Pasuk Aleph. Perek Chet, Pasuk Aleph, and Sefer Shmuel Bet. Vayihi achareichen, vayach David et Plishtim, vayach ni'em. David at last beats the Plishtim and causes them to surrender. It comes a strange term, which we're not going to be touching upon now, rather than maybe a little later on in a couple of weeks. Vayikach David et Meteg Ha'amah miyad Plishtim. David takes Meteg Ha'amah from the Plishtim. What is exactly the Amah? What is Meteg Ha'amah? We'll leave that open in the meantime. But David causes the Plishtim to be beaten and to surrender. And this is the end of our interactions with Plishtim. That's it. Okay? This is basically a very general overview of our history with the Plishtim. And that basically is as such. Let's sum up what we saw until this point. Speaking of the unfolding of our interaction of Klal Yisrael with Plishtim starts with Yitziat Mitzrayim itself. And Hashem says, well, Bnei Yisrael are not ready for an interaction with Plishtim. It's going to cause them to go back into Mitzrayim. And instead, we go all around. We come into Eretz Yisrael the other direction 40 years later. And we go through ongoing trouble with the Plishtim all the way till David HaMelech. And once we get to David and his Malchut, that's the end of our interaction. We're able to beat Plishtim, and it's the end of our trouble that we get from them. So, what do you start picking up from all this? Yes, Avi?
Our interactions, I guess, start kind of with Yitzhak Mitzrayim as a nation, but the beginning of us becoming a nation started with Abraham and Yitzhak, and which was the, I guess, again, beginning of the Medios and so on and so forth, and the start of Bnei Yisrael as a whole, and then it concludes with David HaMelech, who Malchus completion of the Medos, and really we can't be pleased in until we've become whole as one.
That's okay. First, a touch differently. I bet you want to say something?
I think it's along the same lines, but also to add that the Christian might have been part of the help of what brought out the Medos along the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that through the seven different Medos, the personalities that brought them out, through the interactions with the Christian, the Medos became stronger. So finally, David, the Shlemut, was able to conquer because he had all the Medos redeveloped.
Okay, let me phrase it a little differently what you people are saying, I think, correctly, and that is, what we can see is that from the very birth of Klal Yisrael as a people, all throughout the process, from that point, from Yitziat Mitzrayim, as we're born as a people, until we're able to switch from just being a nation to actually becoming a Malchut, Plishtim is always going to be in the background there, checking, testing, causing us trouble, until we're actually able to attain correct Malchut, the Malchut Metukenet, and when we do reach that, that's the end of the role of Plishtim and their interaction within us. Interestingly enough, as we said before, this Midah Malchut, which is the seventh Midah, going back into the origins of it in Sefer Bereshit, one can strongly suspect that if the place of treaty between Abimelech and Avram is in fact the place which we define as Be'er Sheva, is deeply related to the Malchut of Klal Yisrael coming forth through somehow our constant ongoing generation after generation interaction with the people of the Plishtim. In that sense, if we define Parshat Vayera as predominantly, basically, two inyonim unfolding in the Parsha, the birth of the second Midah of Gehura, and at the same time, setting the stage for the seventh Midah to be able later on to come into existence, this is another expression, another leaven, and that coming into the existence of the Midah in terms of its seeds in Sefer Bereshit, in terms of the Plishtim's role, which I'm not exactly so clear yet how to define it. Maybe towards the end of Shir we'll be able to put it and formulate it a little better. But in any case, the Plishtim definitely plays a significant role in the ability or disability or inability to of this Midah Malchut to come into the world. Now, another aspect. In terms of the generations from David, we're basically starting with the generation of Moshe all the way to the generation of David. I've mentioned already in other shiurim, which Sina, I think, mentioned over here as well. David HaMelech to Avram Avinu has how many generations? Avram to David, like the gematria of David is 14. 14 generations from Avram Avinu. Moshe is how many generations from Avram Avinu?
Avram, Yitzchak, 7, right. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kahat, Amram, Moshe.
That leads us to how many generations from Moshe to David? 7 generations from Moshe to David. So along 7 generations, we have difficulties or inability to conquer Plishtim or deal with Plishtim from Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and we're not yet ready for it. And then later on, stage after stage, only 7 generations later, are we in fact able to conquer the Plishtim. 7 generations. The 7 keeps underlying everything in terms of our interaction with the Plishtim. Let's not forget that when in fact Avimelech came to make a treaty, a brit, with Avram Avinu, that you do not demolish, you do not hurt or cut from the face of the earth my descendants, Avimelech says, Leli v'lenechdi v'lenini, myself, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. Avram Avinu gives over 7 sheep. 7 sheep. Chazal and the Medrash explicitly say that the 7 sheep that Avram Avinu gives over to Avimelech causes Beit HaMikdash to be delayed by 7 generations. The 7 sheep, says the Medrash, that Avram Avinu gives over to Avimelech causes Beit HaMikdash to be delayed by 7 generations. Meaning, it could have been built right at Yetziat Mitzrayim, and it's delayed by 7 generations only till David setting the stage and his son Shlomo actually building Beit HaMikdash. Assuming that Moshe was not meant to come in there. So yes.
Why is it delayed?
What?
Why is?
So that's exactly what I want to say. How do we understand all this? It's just an interesting midrash. The connections are interesting. What's the content of it, and how do we understand it? In the next 2-3 minutes, and then the shir, I'll try to at least on some level introduce it. What is the origin of Plishtim? Who are they? What's their genetic background?
Ham.
How do you know?
Because all the bad guys are from
Ham. All the bad guys are from Ham. Okay, we'll have to see if that's true, but... Terry, what do you want to say?
I think I just say that historically they came from the sea and they came to the coast.
Open up in Parshat Noach, 1 second. Open up in Parshat Noach, where we always look for the origins of nations. Right, very good. Open up in Parshat Noach quickly, we're running out of time. Chapter 10, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Gimel of Bereshit. We are, in fact, as Ari said, in the list of the descendants, not of Yefet and not of Shem right now, but of Ham. One of the most meaningful, dominant descendants of Ham is Mitzrayim. And we go on to describe also the descendants of Mitzrayim himself. Mitzrayim Yalad et Ludim. פסוק י"ג. את לודים ואת ענמים ואת להבים ואת נפתוחים ואת פטרוסים ואת כסלוחים אשר יצאו משם פלישתים ואת כפתורים. So פלישתים is a descendant of מצרים. No. So first of all, if פלישתים is a descendant of מצרים, first of all, we should not be so surprised that if we're going to have this deja vu or a repetition of our Avram Avinu interaction and then again with Plishtim to be the same with the taking of the wife, etc., the similarity might be going back to this point exactly. And that is as such. What we saw geographically, Mitzrayim, Plishtim, Eretz Yisrael. Plishtim may not just be on the way to Eretz Yisrael. Plishtim are really the offspring of Mitzrayim, positioned between Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael. And what I would suspect is the following. Listen carefully. So there he asks, why is this delayed? The point of Yitziat Mitzrayim from the very beginning, as Klal Yisrael is already aware of it, at the peak of Yitziat Mitzrayim in Kriyat Yamsuf, Mikdash Hashem Konenu Yadecha, to come out of Mitzrayim and to build Beit HaMikdash.
That's the destination. That's where Yetziat Mitzrayim is supposed to lead Klal Yisrael to, is the stage of building a Beit HaMikdash. But what that's really saying is that to the extent that you really fully came out of Mitzrayim, to that extent, you can actually build a Beit HaMikdash with all that it goes into that. Meaning, we're talking about two opposite ends of the spectrum. Mitzrayim and everything that it represents as being the complete opposite of everything that the state of Beit HaMikdash in Klal Yisrael is about. And only to the extent that Klal Yisrael has fully, internally, removed itself from all that Mitzrayim, the nation where they came about into existence, is about in terms of they are as a culture, only at that point, when they fully brought it out of themselves and it's removed from within themselves, can we really talk about the fact that Klal Yisrael is ready to build a Beit HaMikdash. That is a process to come out an influence of slavery and of culture of Mitzrayim. And we spoke about levels of it in terms of Cham and Arayot and more, etc. It's not something that happens overnight. It begins overnight. And it goes through stages after stages, generations after generations, of removing any leftovers of Mitzrayim elements within Klal Yisrael. Coming into Eretz Yisrael, Mitzrayim, if you wish, is going to be sending its offspring, Plishtim, to infiltrate, which is what I think, what Plishtim literally actually means, liflosh, to penetrate into, to infiltrate into, and that's exactly what they're constantly doing. It's always trying to go into the southern part of Eretz Yisrael and cause Klal Yisrael trouble. But as Sefer Shoftim defined it, Plishtim is primarily about testing and checking Klal Yisrael, if they're keeping to the way of Hashem or not. Checking or testing what? Checking or testing to what extent did you actually come out of Mitzrayim. And it's going to be the descendant of Mitzrayim, with all the similarities of culture, genetically, is going to be the one to test Bnei Yisrael, are you fully out of Mitzrayim or not? And that takes generations, and only when we reach the stage of David HaMelech and his Malchut, can we say that Klal Yisrael really came out of Mitzrayim, in the full sense of the word, to allow for Beit HaMikdash to be built. Plishtim ended their role in history, and they are then, at that point, removed from the stage of history. Okay? Now, just one hint to the fact that that's consistently the pattern, because when in the end, Beit Rishon is destroyed, Chazal tells us that the origins of the destruction of Beit Rishon of Shlomo HaMelech go back to the actual night of the completion of Beit HaMikdash, because the night before the morning of Chanukah Beit Rishon of Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech goes and marries the daughter of the daughter of the king of Mitzrayim, Bat Paro. And that, Chazal say, that night set the stage for the crumbling of Beit HaMikdash and the future Churban 15 generations later on. So it's, on some level, we came out of Mitzrayim and were able to build a Beit HaMikdash. And by reconnecting to the Mitzrayim elements, that sets the stage and plants the seeds for its actual destruction. And in a sense, on some level, one can say the full-fledged coming out of Mitzrayim is only going to happen at the end of days. Plishtim, though, is the ongoing offspring of Mitzrayim, checking, testing, and cleansing Klal Yisrael, preparing it for Malchut David and the ability of David and Shlomo to build Beit HaMikdash and to fully, at that stage at least, remove Mitzrayim elements from or within us. So, for next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, as I said, please read the next parsha, the parsha of Klal Yisrael, and we'll go into new stages of separate versions. What does it mean that